confidence that regardless of how this world looks upon me, I lack nothing. I lack nothing. And that's what he's reminding them. He knoweth by walking through this great wilderness. And we can get down in the mouth, can't we, about this great wilderness. And we spend all our time talking with each other about it. Oh, I'll tell you, just as I don't know, these trials and afflictions. And have you lacked for water? Have you lacked for bread? Have you lacked for sustenance? Have you lacked for grace? Have you lacked for forgiveness? Have you lacked for peace, comfort? All of these things are ours. We're blessed. We're blessed. And we have no reason at all to envy the wicked in any way. It says, thou hast lacked nothing. Thou hast lacked nothing. I'm not trying to minimize any trials or afflictions. I have to kick myself all the time in this area because I get down just like anybody else. But I'll tell you, my getting down has to do with me looking inward or looking backward or looking sideward, comparing myself with where everybody else seems to be rather than just looking to Christ, looking to his word and resting in who he is and what he's accomplished for a sinner such as myself. And that's why I encourage you to look. What's interesting, everything here that the Lord is denouncing is man-made. It's the works of man. The goodly stones, that's what men put pleasure in. Versus, you stop and think about the way that Christ is the fulfillment. Yes, marble is beautiful. The stone is wonderful. But he's the chief cornerstone. He is that foundation that God has laid that no other man can lay. Christ Jesus. So that's where our eyes are turned. It doesn't matter what kind of physical building we're meeting in. If Christ is preached, it's everything. And if Christ isn't preached, it's nothing but a tomb. Had he left me to my own so-called free will, which doesn't exist, men have a will, but it's not free. It's bound by this depravity and darkness, wretchedness and rebellion. And left to ourselves, we'll go to our grave in that condemnation. But here's one that cared enough for my soul. Not only to lay down his life, but then by his spirit of grace to reveal himself to me and lift me up out of that dunghill. I'll tell you, it's a lot like coming out of a coma. You don't know where you are, where you've been, but you just know you're alive. And then suddenly you begin to get your bearings about you. I remember as the Lord began to deal in my heart, I wasn't looking for him. I've been through all of the free will teaching. I grew up in it, cut my teeth on it. You can't tell me a thing about free willism that is any surprise to me, but I will tell you that's a rebellion. Because it took the Lord showing me that my will was nothing but corrupt. And the thought of him goodness was in and of itself the worst rebellion that I could ever offer up to God. When he says specifically, none is righteous, none of them. If, Paul said, righteousness come by law, in other words, man's obedience to it, and even if you say, well, at least God puts it out there and we have to say yes. You're saying that that obedience then is what God acknowledges to save you? How foolish. There's only one obedience that God has ever accepted to save a sinner. And if you hold to any other view, you're yet in darkness and it will condemn you.